Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus.
Thought I'd come dressed in my best Christmas attire possible. Who loves Christmas? Come on. How good a season is the Christmas season? You know what's crazy is? Crazy though. This year, this Christmas season has snuck up on us. Because usually we would deck out the foyers in November to get ready for all the Christmas things, and we sprung it on you this week. It's the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st, and the 24th are our services. So it feels a little bit shorter. Does anyone feel like Christmas sneaked up on them this year? So I thought I'd do my best to make sure that we maximize the most of Christmas. I had to find something that was going to be YouTube approvable. Do you think it works? We're about to find out. Hey, why don't you high-five the person next to you as you take your seat this morning? Tell them you're glad that they came. Come on. And we are simply going to celebrate Christmas together. We're going to open up the scriptures today. It's going to be exciting. But firstly, I actually wanted to make a really welcome today. A couple that have come over from our Bangkok location. We have Alice and Kian, is that right? Ian. Oh, how did I mess that up? Can't even possibly tell you. Ian and Alice. Kian. I'm really getting this girl, aren't I? Kian and Alice, we are so glad that you've come over from our Bangkok location to be with us here today. Can we just welcome them today? Thank you guys for being with us and being a part of our service. I apologize for butchering your name, Kian. We've actually had a massive week of celebrations. We had our Team Advance celebration this week. All of our volunteers, if you volunteer in the life of the church, could you stand up? Could you stand up for me? Come on, that's right. You know who you are. You were here. That's it. We had over 220 volunteers gathered together. We want to thank you guys for the service that you bring into the life of the church and for the contribution that you make. You guys might be laughing and just really enjoying it because I've maximized the Christmas season. On the celebration night, I came as the ringmaster, not by choice. Jess allocated outfits. I wore them. And we had a great time celebrating our volunteers and just being able to gather together with some of the team that actually make Sundays happen. You may not be aware of just how much goes in to a Sunday service. And so again, we want to say a massive thank you for those who volunteer in the life of our church. It is a joy and a pleasure to serve with you. We had over 220 people gathered together on the Wednesday night. We had a lot of fun. This room was transformed into a mini golf space. We had game consoles on three different screens. All the kids were jumping around on jumping castles. We had ping pong. And it was just a great night of celebration to gather together and really honour those guys for the part they play. But further to that, I actually want to pass on Pastor Wayne and Lynn's gratitude to you for the way you serve. They want to pass on their hello to the whole congregation, but specifically to actually thank and honour our volunteers for all of their service. He will be here on the 21st of December as a part of our last Sunday service for the year. And both Pastor Wayne and Lynn will come and thank you personally, but a massive big thank you to you from them via me. Is that okay? Yeah. Awesome. We're going to open up the scriptures together. Why don't you turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 through to 20 today as we dive into the Christmas story to start our series together. It says this, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in a city of David a Saviour, who is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary, keeping all these things, pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Would you just pray with me as we open up the scriptures together and dive into those? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is like a two-edged sword that cuts between the spirit and the flesh and brings great revelation of who you are. We're asking today, Holy Spirit, as we open the scriptures, that you would help us to see what it is that you see. In the beginning of this time together, Lord, let Jesus be lifted high. Let Jesus be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today, I actually want to speak to you around this idea this Christmas, the gospel suddenlies and those who marvel. The gospel suddenlies and those who marvel. This passage paints this incredible picture of a moment in time where the shepherds were out in the pastures. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why shepherds? Have you ever read this passage and thought to yourself, why not the palace? Why the pasture? Why did angels turn up to speak to a shepherd? The beautiful picture in this passage is painted for us, and I can understand it when Matthew talks about wise men and all the different things, but I came to this point and I was like, why shepherds? Because the context of this is that the shepherds were the most unlikely to be given any announcement. They were the bottom rung of society. They were socially overlooked. They were considered to be ceremonially unclean, and they were unable to attend the synagogue due to their work. And they were living on the edge of society. And what I find really interesting is not only did the angel appear to shepherds, those who were socially overlooked, but they appeared at night. Have you ever wondered why? See, this was a dark time for the people of God. The presence of the Lord had left the temple 580 to 600 years earlier. And there was this waiting with anticipation for the promise of a Messiah. It was a dark time in this time. But the thing that the Lord did in sending an angel to appear before shepherds was he himself, Jesus, was going to be the Lamb of God who would sit with shepherds around him. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, and he appears to shepherds who would have the job in the temple to produce and bring the lambs. And he comes into the darkest of darkest nights and the darkest of times where there is no presence or manifestation of the glory of God. And he reveals to shepherds, those who would be overlooked in society, and he brings them this message. He brings them this message and says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. He appeared to the lowest of lows to say, this is inclusive of everybody. He didn't come in a palace. He came in a pasture. He actually was wrapped up in waddling in a manger. And it's this moment that changes everything in history, because you and I both know that there is now before Christ and after Christ moments. This moment actually puts a line in the sand for time. And when he comes with this message is he was born to you this day in the city of David, a savior who is the Christ and is the Lord. This good news message that this angel brings to these shepherds is, hey, there is somebody who is arriving, who has arrived, that changes everything. He is the Savior who will take away the sins of the world. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the King of Kings to come. And he is the Lord. He is Jehovah, God himself. This message is the good news in this moment to these shepherds. Because God reveals Jesus to the lowly to show that his kingdom has come in humility and not with human status. This birth of a king was announced not in the palace, but in a pasture. And this is the good news, that Jesus came to seek the least, he came to seek the last, and he came to seek the lost. And this is what we celebrate. And this Christmas message, they heard for the first time. And in this moment, as they are hearing the good news, they're hearing the gospel. This word good news or good tidings actually means good news, which means gospel, which means to bring good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And what I love about this is that the angel says to them, here is what I'm telling you, and you're hearing the gospel. And then he says to them, this will be a sign. Why? This will be a sign. There will be a sign. There will be a baby born in a manger. And he points them to a sign. Why? Because there is always a sign that follows good news. Friends, today you are here and you have received the good news. You have received this king. And in this time, born as a babe in a manger, we celebrate. But you have received something in which Jesus himself wants us to know today, that it was not that he would just come and stay as a babe in your mind, but that he would come as king. He would come as the Lamb of God. He would come as the one who would take away the sins of the world. Because it was for all people, not just the chosen people. It was for all people, not just the people in the palace, but it was for the people in the pasture. And God himself brings an angel to appear before shepherds to make them aware that for the lowest of lows, he came. And he came in the lowest form. His arrival was in a manger, a place of animals. I've got two dogs. One's mine and one's my housemate. And I can tell you right now, that stench of what they excrete, I walk my dogs outside of my apartment, and I put them out onto a grass area, and I'm like, do your business here. Because I don't want that business in my house. Have you ever considered what Jesus was born into? It's such an upside down kingdom. It's such an upside down message for the world to receive. But it is a message that has to be heard to be received. And see, in this moment, in verse 13, it actually says, and suddenly there was an angel, and I'm sorry, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and earth and peace and goodwill towards men. You know what, friends? They didn't only hear the gospel, but they actually encountered an open heaven over their lives in that moment. Why? Because the gospel was shared. See, when the gospel is shared, heaven opens up and there can be suddenly moments in people's lives. See, Christmas is about this gospel, this good news, this Jesus who came, who is not some out there figure off there on a nativity scene up in the kids' space. It is literally Jesus in the flesh, the person who has come to seek and to save the least, the last, and the lost. Friends, this message is a message to be encountered. And when people hear it, they encounter an open heaven over their lives. See, the shepherds remind me of some friends in my life right now who are living through the darkest times. But it actually says that when the angel appeared, that the light shone and the glory of God pushed back the darkness. Why? Because when Jesus turns up, darkness has to flee. don't know about you, but I got friends sitting in this Christmas, not sure of why Christmas, not sure of what even Christmas is about, but they're sitting in the darkest of times. And I felt like the Lord say that in this season, in your friends, worlds and families and your businesses, the Lord actually wants to turn up in those dark moments. And He wants to show up and show off and let them hear the gospel, let them encounter the gospel in and through you, but let them see the gospel. See, God delights in using ordinary people like you and I to actually spread this extraordinary news. Because when those who have encountered the gospel, we become messengers of Jesus. I love this. Verse 15 and 16, it says this. It says, might be time for new glasses. So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, that which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. You know, they had a genuine urgency about them to take what they had experienced, heard and experienced, and to actually see for themselves. You know, verse 17 says, and when they saw him, they made him widely known. Friends, when we encounter the Lord, we can't help but become messengers. We can't help but become ones who actually go from hearing the good news and experience the good news and seeing it with our own eyes to become ones who then share what they have seen. I actually believe that the Lord would have us in this Christmas step into a space where it is new and fresh in our eyesight to be able to see what He sees this Christmas and be able to bring the good news of the gospel to people who desperately need it. See, verse 18 says that those who heard the shepherds speak marveled at the things that were told to them by the shepherds. Friends, I'm telling you right now, the only way a world will actually marvel and suddenlies will happen is when the good news is shared. This Christmas, it is the gospel, it is the suddenlies, and it is the marveling of those who have seen and heard this good news. Friend, you are that person that the Lord wants to bring His good news through. It says in verse 20 that the shepherds went on praising God for all the things that they had heard, seen, and was told to them. It is always the Lord's intention that people will hear, that people will see, and that people will tell. But more often than not, we get stuck at the seen and heard, and we take our Christmas gift and get really excited about it and run away. I was talking with a friend of mine just recently and talking about this whole idea of what it means to have a report that when they've been told by doctors that cancer will be their diagnosis, but the Lord says that's not your prognosis. I have something more that I want to bring. And I just said to them, I said, if you heard that good news, what would that mean for you? If you hear the good news that cancer is now no longer a part of this sickness or ailment in your body that has taken you through this massive journey, if you were told that there was literally no more cancer in your body, what would that mean to you? Like, that would be the best news ever. They'd be like, I'd be telling everybody. Why? Because when good news happens, something shifts inside of us to want to declare and to proclaim that which we have experienced, that which we have heard, that which we have felt, that which we have known and encountered and want to bring to a world who desperately needs it. See, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15 says this. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things. Friends, the only way that actually Jesus can save the least, the last, and the lost is if we live a life that shares this good news. And this Christmas, we've been given the privilege to live out Acts 20, 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Imagine what you could do with this life-changing gift this Christmas in the world you live. Could you actually be someone who turns up in someone else's darkest night? Think about it for a moment. The people in your world, who do you know right now who's living through a dark time? That maybe just like the shepherds are in the darkest space, but the Lord wants to turn up. Did you know that the Bible says that you are the light of the world? Did you know that the Lord says, literally, that you have Christ living on the inside of you? Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is now no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. You have Christ living inside of you. Did you know that it's possible to live in a dark world and be the one who lights it up? This Christmas, could it be that you could find someone in your world to bring the light of God to bring the love of God to bring the hope of God and to bring the peace of God so that it could lead to joy of the Lord for somebody else? Luke chapter 2 said that it was good news and it was great joy for all people. The lowest of lows to the highest of highs. I don't know where you find yourself today, friend, but I can tell you this. It's God's intent that He would use you as a light in the darkness. You know what's really fascinating? This room, when you turn off all the lights, it's like, because there's no windows, it's like pitch black in here. And I've had moments where I've been scared of the dark as a kid. And actually had that moment dealt with when I was about 23. And that might seem really weird to you, but that was my experience. I had spirit of fear broken off my life at 23 at a conference. Someone called it out. I stood up, someone prayed, and something changed. And I can testify to the goodness of God turning up in those spaces now where I can actually confidently walk into a dark room and not feel a spirit of fear. But this room here, when you walk in, and like literally it's pitch black in here, all that is required is to press a button and all of a sudden light turns on and darkness disappears. It's one of the wildest things ever, but did you know it's that actually that easy for you in today's world and society for you to actually go, Lord, I'm a light switch, turn me on and allow my life to light up the darkness in someone else's life. And I would have loved in this moment right now to have just gone and all the lights turned off and you were all like, whoa. I just don't have that skill. But the reality is when you go home and hop into a room and you walk in and it's dark, just remember that when you walk into someone's world, it's like you walking into your house and flicking on a light switch and everything changes and light exposes the darkness and darkness is pushed back. Why? Because God has called you the light of the world. He has called you to be one who has Christ living on the inside of them. Could you imagine what your friends' worlds could look like if we just offer them Christ? Could you share the good news this Christmas and let heaven open up over someone's life? Luke 12, verse 12 says, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to say in that very hour, what you ought to say. Because you know what? Sometimes you and I sit here and go, yeah, but I wouldn't know what to say. It's okay for you. You've got a microphone and a platform. You know what to say. Actually, can I just be really honest with you? It's actually every believer's responsibility to share this good news. And I'm going to do a shameless plug here right now because many of you are new. But I actually wrote some material that would actually help you to share the good news of the gospel in a simple way that where you can read it, study it, develop and understand how to share your story and the gospel and literally allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you in the moment on what to say. Because I'm telling you right now, God wants to move in and through you. He wants to give you something to say. And every single one of you has a testimony, which is a sign of the gospel. And as a result, when you share that, it can bring light into someone's world. It can bring hope into someone's world. And it can actually introduce them to Jesus, who changes everything. Friends, Christmas is not just a time to rejoice, but it's a time to share. It's a time to share the message that Christ came into this world to save the world. I don't know who you've got in your world this Christmas, but maybe there's just one. But imagine if you could do what Jesus did, leave the 99 and go after the one. Jesus came for the one. Imagine the one in your world and what that could mean this Christmas. Could you actually invite someone in to a come and see experience? That they could experience heaven for themselves. I love the fact that heaven opened up when the gospel was shared. Can I just be really, really honest? I love it when we come together and we worship, and there's moments where in worship you can feel and sense the presence of the Lord. Have you been there? But do you know how much greater the presence of the Lord would open up over lives and on this earth as we share the gospel? Because it didn't open up over angels singing glory in the highest. It opened up after the gospel was proclaimed, it was heard, and it was received, and then a whole host of heaven. I'm telling you now, there is something that the Lord wants to unlock this Christmas in and over this church. This church has always been a soul-winning church. This church has always been a church that seeks to save the lost, the least, the last, and the lost. And it is a church that will continue to do that. But that's not us doing that on this platform or this or that. That is every believer taking their responsibility to share this good news of the gospel to those who desperately need it and allowing God to go to work over someone's life. Do you know you actually don't have to do that much? You share your testimony about how Jesus saved you, the Lord moves on it. It's not your testimony that saves them. He comes on your testimony and literally says, Jesus is being revealed, I'm here, and all of heaven opens up. I'm telling you now, I honestly, sharing Jesus confidently and material out in the foyer, it'll help unlock how to share this good news with somebody so that you can share your testimony. It's going to walk you through steps on how to do that, and it's going to set you up for a win. And I want to encourage you to get a hold of that and help you as you unpack your testimony this Christmas and how God could move on it. Whew. You know, the beautiful thing about come and see invitations for people is that literally, it was the same way that Jesus was found by Andrew. It was the same way that he found his brother. And it was the same way that Nathanael had a conversation with Philip. And it was simply this. Verse 39 said, he said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained. Nathanael then said to Philip, Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because they're hearing about Jesus, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And Philip said to him, come and see. Friends, you might have an opportunity this Christmas for one or maybe more to maybe just say, hey, would you come and see? Maybe you could invite them to come and see in your world that your Christian friends are not weird. Maybe just have a summer barbecue this year and invite them in to a come and see experience in your house. Maybe you could invite them to our Christmas Eve service this Christmas and that they could hear the gospel. Can I just tell you, I'm so excited. I got a download for a script for the message for Christmas Eve. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service. It's going to be an hour long. We're going to sing carols and a couple of worship songs, and then we're going to preach the gospel. Can I just encourage you? Don't come to Christmas Eve for yourself. Come to Christmas Eve with somebody. Invite someone to come and see this Christmas and hear of the good news of Jesus. And I promise you this, they will come in and walk out with a revelation of who Jesus is, why he came, and how they can respond to the greatest gift given to mankind this year. Friends, your testimony could unwrap it, your hospitality could unwrap it, and your personal invitation to someone this Christmas to come and see could unwrap and unlock heaven over somebody's life. And there is no other time like right now. People are open, people are ready,
and the presence of God will turn up and show up as you begin to share. And I can promise you this, that those people that you share with or invite into spaces where they can hear the gospel will actually marvel. Because the gospel always leads to a suddenly that leads to people marveling. When they heard the good news, they marveled. But more often than not, when I've shared the gospel with people, and their question, the statement that has come back to me has been this: why didn't somebody tell me earlier? Why didn't somebody tell me earlier? Friends, don't go buy another Christmas thinking and praying for the same people. Actually do something. Because it was the haste of the shepherds, once they heard the good news, to go and see for the good news for themselves, that they went and told. And it's always the same, that you would hear, that you would see, and that you would tell. And as you do that this Christmas, the Christmas message would be made known to all people, and that they would have an opportunity to respond. Because Christmas opens up the hearts of people, and it's the gospel that fills them if we share. How will they know unless you and I go? You heard earlier the testimony of what's happened in our open house. Do you know 7 Bibles is 10% of what has entered into that space over the last 12 months? I've had over 70 young people coming into that space. Do you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. Because one moment, one opportunity changes everything. We're so privileged we get to actually give out Bibles in this country and people can read them and find Jesus for themselves. Please pray for that young Muslim boy who picked up that Bible. Please pray for the other 6 who picked up Bibles and walked out of here. Because they too will have heaven open up over their lives. And they'll probably end up in here just like you. Ha! Nikki Gumbel says the message of Christmas is that God has come to us so that we go to others. Cain shared with you firstly at the start of our service today that there are 4 opportunities that you can engage in, and obviously one of those just being gone. There's still 4 things that you can engage in this Christmas. We have the Young Adults University Outreach happening 24th at lunchtime. Team are going to be gathering here and you can connect via the QR code with the details and get some more information on how you can be a part of that. Maybe you can't go, but maybe you could pray and Jess could know that you're praying. Maybe you can't go, but maybe you could actually say, hey, Jess, what can I do in this space for you? Then there's the adult hampers. Every year, our church family gathers together to give out Christmas gifts to those who are most vulnerable, both in our community here in the life of the church, but also those who are external to the church. And maybe you could join Pastor Liz and say, hey, listen, I would love to come and be a part of creating hampers, making hampers, or bringing hampers, or even perhaps even going and delivering hampers to help out a family in need who may not celebrate Christmas without that particular hamper this Christmas. Or maybe you could be a part of the community barbecue that you've heard so much about. Savi will be out on the desk at the west, I think it's, I don't know, south end, I'm going to call it the south end of the foyer. And Savi and the team will be there to connect with you after the service if you have more questions, but the QR code will take you to where there are some details. But that's on the 21st, it's the last Sunday of the year. And can I just really encourage and provoke us around this idea? What would it look like for a church to turn up to a community of 2,000 people in the estate homes and actually just love on them for a moment? What would it look like if our love went in action and in words and conversations opened up and people heard the gospel for the first time? What could it look like if kids who maybe from a low socioeconomic family don't actually have the ability to have Christmas gifts, but you could bring a gift and love on a kid this Christmas? Friends, don't let this be the year that we check in and check out and do Christmas and sign off and say, well, that's another one down. Let's let Christmas move us. Let's let Christ in Christmas move us into a space where we would be blessed by what we give, not by what we receive. Is that okay? Friends, this Christmas, we have the privilege of being able in our every conversation and in our every invitation and in our every act of kindness to become a doorway for somebody else to be able to encounter Jesus. And my prayer is this, that they would literally hear the good news, have heaven open up over their life and have a suddenly encounter with the Lord, and that they would marvel at what they're hearing. And I'm believing that for your friends and for your family and for your loved ones this Christmas. But we have to play a part. Who are you inviting? Who are you sharing with? Who are you saying, come and see this Christmas? And as you're thinking of that person, why don't you stand to your feet right now and we're going to close. I believe that the Christmas season should be fun. I believe that the Christmas message should be fun. I believe that people should encounter a God who is a God of fun, who is a God of love, who is a God of hope, who is a God of peace, and he's a God of joy. Let joy enter into our Christmas experience this year. Amen? Would you close your eyes? We're going to pray. God, I thank you for every single individual that calls Pneuma Church home. I thank you, God, for today's message as we are provoked to remember that every message of the good news of the gospel starts with hearing, then it starts to lead towards a seeing, and then it starts to lead towards a telling. And I'm praying this Christmas, God, would you show up in our worlds, in our families, in our businesses, where people would hear of the good news, that they would see the God of love, the God of peace, the God of hope, and the God of joy in our lives. And Lord, as we share this Christmas, may they truly find the good news to be good. May they find suddenlies opening up over their lives, and may they stand back and marvel at the goodness of a good, good God whom we know and whom we love. Jesus, we invite you into our worlds this Christmas. Provoke us and challenge us as we look at ways that we can engage in Christmas this year beyond receiving the greatest gift. May we be ones who give the greatest gift this Christmas. And Lord, for every person that has come to mind by name or by face, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you go to work on their life? And Lord, as your people begin to share their testimonies this Christmas, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you hover over those moments and let heaven open up and let Jesus be seen? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Now listen, I may have just prayed for those who are in the room today to be able to share that, but maybe you're in the room today and you've never heard the good news of the gospel. Friend, you need to know that he came because he loves you, and he came, as the story is told, so that all men could respond. And like any Christmas gift that you receive, you actually have to open up your heart to receive it and your hands to receive it. And so in this moment, I'm simply going to ask right across the room right now, if you are here today and you know you've heard this message and you know that he came for you, friend, I can tell you this, he didn't stay a babe. He grew into a man and he died on a cross to pay a price for our sin. And in paying a price for our sin, he set us free to walk a life with him, both here and now and for eternity. And all that's required of man, the Bible says, is that we would believe in our hearts and receive the forgiveness of sin, the right to become a child of God, and the right to eternal life, and the right to walk with the Holy Spirit from here on end. Friend, if that's you today, I'm simply going to ask you just to give me a wave if you want to respond and say yes. And as you do, I'll just acknowledge your hand and simply pray for you. And then nothing more will be required of you than to lean into who Jesus is this Christmas. So right across the room, if you're here today and you know you need to respond to this good news, why don't you just give me a wave right across the room as I pan across? I'm just going to acknowledge your hand and then we're going to pray. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Awesome. Means everyone in this room is saved. Right audience. Church. We're stepping into a new season. It's full of joy, full of hope, and full of expectation about what God wants to do. As we finish off today, I'm going to pray a blessing over you as you go. But I'm going to ask, don't walk out of here without thinking about what Christmas could mean for somebody else. What's the gift you're bringing to them? So God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for your people. I ask Holy Spirit, you bless them as they go about their day today, as they get about thinking about Christmas and all the things that they need to do. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would remind them of the forefront of who you are and what you want to do. I'm asking right now, Holy Spirit, remind us this Christmas to not let Christmas pass by, not let another one pass by without sharing this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.